I'll have some drums in my fold as well.
That effect sounds really good. The setting for drums.
Echoey.
Sounds nice.
From the instrument, the bridge instrumental into the bridge, and then verse two, and then end, chorus and end.
Where have we just come out of a chorus?
We came out of a chorus.
We
came out of the wo-wos in instrumental one and instrumental two.
Practical themes and to help us in this constant change that we live in. And today we're going to be looking at hearing God's voice, because that's helpful, isn't it? Yes. And I thought that to start off today, we might start with some bit of interaction. So if you could just go to into your browser, slido.com, or take a picture of the QR code, it will ask you to put in a number. So put in the number 416631 and we're good to go. The great thing about Slido is that all your responses are anonymous, so no one's going to know what you're thinking right now, which is awesome, but we get a really good real feel for what's in the room. So how are we going with that? People are getting there, are they? Good. Put that number in. Awesome. So the number's there again, if you still need to put that in. So the first question today. Do we need to go back to the first slide and put up your hand if we do? No? Okay. I know it's on the side, but the QR code's on the first. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, the QR code was the other one. Good. All righty. So answer this question. And you've got some options there. Oh, look at that. Some people are going, where do you go to get help when you're feeling distressed? Because when I had a look on Google, you could see all these countries in the world have, when I put in psychological distress and COVID, it's all gone through the roof. In these last couple of years, psychological distress. People are having a hard time, and that's on top of the trials and tribulations that Scripture already says that we're going to experience just because we're walking in this life. So today, if you're feeling distressed, where do you go for help? What's one of the first things that pop into your mind? Oh, praying to God. Well, I don't need to go on any further, do I? A family member? Dr. Google. I thought Dr. Google would have a lot more, actually. Oh. Okay. Alrighty. So that's great. I'm impressed. Okay, what's the next question? Let's do one more. Can you just go to the next slide, please? Thanks. All right. So we're talking about hearing God's voice, and this is for hearing for your own needs, because sometimes when we have to pray for someone else, sometimes, it's not for everyone, but you might be able to hear a lot clearer. But when it's yourself, when you're going through trials, think, God, God, where are you? You know, how do you rate yourself in hearing God's voice for your own needs? Yeah, occasionally, often, never. Oh, they've mixed up the options there too. That's interesting. Occasionally, right. Yeah. So you're trying to talk, you're asking, but you're wondering where God is some of the time. So that's good. Well, I'm going to talk to you all about how to hear from God today, which is awesome. I'm going to look at one particular character in the Bible, King David, and he wrote lots of songs, that's the Psalms, and he's recognised by those that came after him. When we read in the New Testament, Paul in Acts, he talks about David, because David was a great king of Israel, did amazing things, conquered people, led people, a whole nation. And Paul says, he quotes the prophet Samuel in describing David as a man after God's own heart. So he had this wonderful relationship with God. He certainly heard God's voice, because he needed a lot of guidance for all that he had to do. And so we didn't need to go to that yet, but thanks, that's fine. So we're going to look at Psalm 16. And this is interesting, because we can see straight off the bat in verse 1, he says, "Keep me safe, O God, for I take refuge in you." So he's going through some hard times at that point. And for this particular psalm, he's actually trying to escape from King Saul, who wants to kill him. So if you're going through some troubling times this week or this time, he was certainly going through some hard times. And the interesting thing too, it starts, as you can see, Psalm 16, a miktam of David. That description is only in six psalms in the Bible, and they're connected with psalms where there is peril and danger actually in those, connected to those psalms. And miktam can be translated to mean a treasure, something golden and hidden. So it's like in these psalms there's a hidden treasure, a hidden secret that David wants to reveal to us that can be really helpful when we're going through hard times. So this will be a great one to start with. And we do find, it's interesting, we want to hear about hearing from God, but you'll find that David's really intentional about talking about his attitudes and his lifestyle before he actually gets to that. So if we can get to the next slide, we'll see. He says, the first thing that David says after, obviously, preserve my life, keep me safe, because I'm going through a hard time. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I find that really amazing, because if I'm going through a hard time, I do like to complain a little bit sometimes. I don't know about you. It's easy to say, oh, my life's so hard. Do you know what I have to go through every day? But he doesn't say that, does he? He says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. So David starts right off with a glad declaration that no matter what I'm going through, you are my master, and I gladly submit to you with my whole life. That's a great thing to remember for us. When we're going through a hard time, God, you are my God right now. And he says, apart from you, I have no good thing. So David recognises that any good that he does have, it's from God. He has no righteousness or goodness in himself or no goodness from any other person around him. Any good thing that he has is from God. And nothing is more precious to him than his beautiful relationship with God that he cherishes. Apart from you, I have no good thing. And we can say the same thing too, can't we? That we have all good things from God, that the only good that we have is from him. We don't have a righteousness of our own, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross in dying for us, in rising to new life and us saying yes to that, we get his life into ours. His righteousness is our gift to us from him. We serve a wonderfully generous God. And going on from there, we have, he says, as for the saints who are in the land, they are glorious. They are the glorious one in whom is all my delight. Now, David is having to lead people. He's in the face of people all the time. And I don't know if you've recognised, but even maybe in your own families, you don't always get along. You're not always on the same page. And sometimes it can be really difficult. And anyone working in a profession where you have to deal with the public, you don't always come home saying, gee, people are delightful. They can be downright difficult. And I'm sure David had his share of that. But in this, he says, as for the saints, those who love you, Lord, they are glorious. They're the one in whom I delight. How amazing. You know, I have come across and hear about some Christians today. We don't always hear that. You know, some people say, gee, I really love Jesus, but I'm not really sure about the church. Or they talk about churches in a really negative way. But David isn't doing that. And I wonder if we felt like that too, how that might change, you know, possibly our, not just our attitudes, but our actions, that we might actually speak positively all the time about people, about believers, about our brothers and sisters. We might prioritise our time to spend time with other believers and prioritise times like this to gather together, to encourage one another in the good things of God. He goes on to say, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. So this is interesting because David started with, obviously, he's in a tight spot, but he's saying, you know what? If you don't follow God, the sorrows of those will increase. They'll have a worse time. And he's saying, I don't even want to associate or talk about people or what they actually do, more their practices. And their libations of blood have to do with blood and sacrifice and things that they might do in their temples, but he didn't want to go there. And he said, I want to separate myself from that because actually there's nothing good about it. And so sometimes we might look at the world and think, wow, they do this and that. They don't live to please God. But he's saying, yeah, but they're going to have a lot worse time. Life with God, life without God, there's just no comparison. So David speaks about that with great confidence. And he goes on in the next verse. Surely, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And surely I have a delightful inheritance. So after stating that if you live without God, things are tough, now he's saying, you know what, but if you are with God, you have great security. And he's saying, you know, I might be having a difficult time, but I have a great confidence in God that my portion what I have, what God has given me, what He, the life He's given me, what He's enabled me to do, all the things that are yet to come, that is secure. He knows that He knows that nothing is going to change that, even though His current circumstances might tell Him otherwise. And we can have that same security too, that in Christ, that we have a great future. He's given us life eternal now. He's given us a living hope. And so when we go through trials and difficulties today, we can be like David and say, hey, it's okay. Even though there's a lot going on, I know there's the faithfulness of my God, which we've been singing about, never changes. And what I have in Christ, my identity, that I'm His child, that He has me in His hand, He's leading and guiding me, that never changes. And in fact, what I have, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. How beautiful. I love that line. And surely I have a delightful inheritance. And for King David, that was a pretty big thing to say, because David, if we remember, was the youngest of many sons. So in terms of getting an earthly inheritance, yeah, he didn't really need, he wasn't going to expect very much out of that at all, would he? His family would have, he wouldn't have got much from them. But in the Lord, he knew it was a completely different story. So we too can echo his attitude of, you know what, I'm not going to be moved. Even though times are tough right now, I'm not going to be shaken. And we can iterate the same thing as we look to Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross and scorned its shame. Jesus did not waver as He went through the greatest of trials, because He was assured that God had secured for Him a great reward, eternal relationship with us as we put our faith in Him. Wow. And we in turn too have a wonderful living hope. So all of this unwavering faith and positive attitude that David keeps declaring precedes our topic of interest today, which is about hearing from God. So David, up till now, is really demonstrating that hearing from God is not an individual event, but a constant state of being that springs from a transforming growth and a relationship, a growing relationship of intimacy with God. That's where hearing God comes from. And in verse 7 he says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me at night. Who counsels me, even at night, my heart instructs me. So David is clearly hearing from God, isn't he? God counsels him. Lets him know what he needs to do, leads him, guides him. And David has walked in obedience so much, it would seem, that even his own heart has been transformed to walk in godly ways and instructs him. It can also read that even at night, he is so immersed in God's presence that God is speaking into his heart even then. So let's go to the last lot of verses, and we end with verse 11. So at verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So in these verses, once again, David declares that God is always the leader of his life. God is always before him, he says. And because of this, David expresses great confidence that he will continue to live a life pleasing to God. David shows us that there is a result too. something that he can now actually experience. His heart is glad. He gets to experience that. His heart is glad. He experiences rest and security and reassurance. He talks about the fact that his confidence in God is not just for this life, but for the life to come, that he will not be abandoned to the grave. So we can have that confidence too, that even when we face sickness and death, that we can have confidence that God has us, that we are secure in the Lord. So it's interesting, you know, we started off this psalm with, oh, Lord, save my life, preserve my life. But now David is ending with a great expression of joy, that there is joy in God's presence. So throughout this psalm, as David has been determined to keep God central to everything in his life, to grow in relationship with God, he now knows God's heart for him. As he's put God first, it's opened up God's heart for him. And he himself is transformed to experience rest, reassurance and joy in his time of trouble. So you might be thinking now, as we come to the end of the psalm, hey Maria, you haven't really given me any concrete tools as to how I'm going to hear God's voice. Yep, that's right. There's no formula. Because there's no formula for any sort of relationship that we have, is there? Except that we give it time, we give it attention, and we give it honesty. In terms of God speaking, God is talking all the time. There are other songs in the Psalms that talks about how the heavens pour forth speech, that God is speaking through that. In his letter to the Romans, Paul talks about how creation is speaking to us about the existence of God. And to the church, to the Colossians, he talked about how God's word created the universe, and that same word keeps it all together, keeps us together. His voice, his words, his speech is everywhere, all around us. So from that side of the equation of God speaking to us, there's no doubt he is. And I guess the question for us today is, are we tuned in correctly? Like any radio, we don't use radios much, do we? But Wi-Fi, yeah, you've got to be on the right frequency, don't you, to get into Wi-Fi or the radio so that you can tune in and hear what's coming on. Not yet, but I'll let you know. Thanks. So we need to tune our hearts to the frequency of heaven. Oh, that sounds interesting. Into God's kingdom. So when we say we want to hear God, listening to God's voice is not an event. It's not like, God, I'm struggling, tell me what to do, and he tells you. Well, he can tell you. He can work like that. But it's really an ongoing thing. Hearing God's voice is about deciding to enter into an ongoing relationship with him. And in his presence, you will know his heart for you and you will hear his whispers of love, his whispers of encouragement and comfort into your soul. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So Jesus affirms that the Holy Spirit will indeed speak to us. Jesus also said, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So we can see it's the intention of Jesus to also speak to us. And scripture sparks to us a great invitation for us to learn now how to tune in and follow the voice of Jesus. In the Old Testament, we have a great story about the prophet Elijah, and he had experienced great highs with God, he experienced great lows with God, to the fact he was filled with fear and he wanted to hear God's voice. And there was great loud noises like storms, thunderous wind and earthquake, but God's voice came in a gentle whisper. And I wonder why a whisper, because that's harder to hear. If someone speaks to me in a whisper, I've got to lean right in, tune out to everything else and really focus in on what they're saying. Don't you? You do, don't you? And I think that's what God's doing for that same reason, that he wants us to lean in to him, to be still, get away from distractions and focus and be in his presence. Jesus said that his sheep will hear his voice. But when you try to listen to God's voice, do you find that there are a lot of other voices too? And it sometimes is a bit hard to discern what's the Lord's voice, what's my voice? What are the other, there are other voices, other things seem to be screaming at me in life. How do I distinguish? How do we know which is the voice of Jesus? Jesus showed us God's frequency, and that frequency is one of love and forgiveness. For Jesus and for us, God's voice doesn't carry the harsh tones of judgment and rejection. His voice is full of love, of life, and of hope. God doesn't speak to us to condemn us, to reject us, to make us feel unworthy. God's voice always draws us close to him. When God is speaking, he's drawing us close to his heart. And that's God's frequency. God speaks in the distinct tones of peace and love. And I've found in my experience of hearing God's voice, it's come in all sorts of different ways. When I wasn't even a believer, that's when I first started hearing God's voice in my mind, very clearly telling me things that I had no clue about. So that was a good clue that it wasn't my voice, because I didn't even understand what God was talking about. And that set me on a explorative journey to find out who God is. And a few times in my life, I've had that kind of clear voice in my head that I know has been God. Probably the next time, or a couple of times after, probably that was about calling to be a pastor, because I took a bit of convincing because I didn't really see women being pastors. So I needed, he had to tell me a couple of times that one, but I knew it was the same voice that when he called me into salvation. So I thought, yeah, I can't really doubt that. Then there have been times I've had dreams. I remember, and I think I probably shared it, I had a real problem at home because I was trying to build shelving for the laundry. And I thought, Lord, this is going to end terribly, I can tell straight away. And in my dream that night, he gave me plans of how to do it. And I woke up thinking, that's brilliant. Then I realised, yeah, you are a carpenter, aren't you? But so that was awesome. And through scripture, I remember as a young Christian reading scripture that just leapt out at me, and I thought, whoa, that's really from you, God. What a beautiful encouragement. And that particular scripture I've just really taken with me for all of my Christian walk, which has really helped me in times when I've, you know, might be having trouble. And then often it's a sense of knowing that God's with me, and I'm just wrapped up in his peace. And I know what that feels like because I've practiced being in God's presence. And so like any relationship, we've got to give it time. We've got to put that time into it. And sometimes I just start my day with a simple acknowledgement in my head. Thanks, God, for today. Thanks for your goodness. And off I go. Just to remind myself that God is with me and God is always good. So I just want to put the next slide up, and that's really showing us what God's voice will sound like to us and what other voices sound like. So if we, on the blue side, had that sense, oh, we've got to get onto this, it's urgent rush, we're feeling fearful, we're feeling like, you know, it's hard to make a decision because I feel so pushed around in that, confused, when you're feeling really discouraged, feeling really unworthy and condemned, worried and obsessing about one particular thing over and over again, that's not really how God's voice feels like. And it's what you feel, God, when you're with God, it's not just a mental ascent. It's your whole life, you're experiencing Him. So your emotions come into it. So when you're in God's presence, when you're hearing His voice, Him speaking to you, you get a sense of calm and comfort. You know, He'll show you where you're going wrong, but you're not going to feel condemned. You'll feel convicted. You think, oh, so sorry, God. Yeah, you're right. He encourages, He shows us things, He leads us, He reassures us. So, wonderful. So how to? What are some simple things that we can all try and do this week to try and hear God's voice and keep practicing these things? What are some simple things? I like to think about we need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to do it through the Spirit, the Scripture, and through saints, through other believers. First of all, we need to find solitude. So we need to lean in so that we can hear what God's saying. So, okay, the first thing is Spirit. We want to be able to we're inviting the Spirit in to soak in His presence. So we want to put away distractions. You want to be on your own and do things that help you to focus on God, to help you hear it, what the Spirit's saying. Allow the Spirit to bring the truth of who God is to you so that you can keep being transformed on the inside out. So you might find walking in creation helps you to realise that God is with you and allow the Spirit to speak to you about creation and God's goodness in that. Maybe you're listening to worship music and, you know, let your heart really enter into that space and imagine you're singing songs directly to Jesus. We all find different ways to connect with God. So do what you feel, but it's going to be something that you do on your own at this point. Next thing, we might read Scripture. So maybe this week you can go back over Psalm 16, what we've just gone through, and have a look. How is God described in that? Find how God's greatness is described, and how God is described, so you can see that God is God and you're not. I think that's the great thing that happens when we read Scripture, that, yeah, there's more in my life. It's not just about me. There's God and He's bigger and greater and good and awesome. And write down the verses. Take note of what really stands out to you. Some people I know journal. They do this all the time. You know, start the day with Scripture, read a portion and say, God, Holy Spirit, can you show me what you want me to see today? That I can meditate on and put into practice. And the saints. So the main theme that we pick up in Scripture is that listening for God's voice is also a community activity. What we hear in private is outworked in public. So it's really important we have godly people in our lives that can help us discern what God is saying to us. Often we've had people actually have these revelations about how they should live their life, and they go off and do that. And Tom and I wonder, wow, I wonder why they never just came and said, hey, I'm thinking about this, what do you think? Because we've seen some problems with some of the decisions that have made. But you and I are so important to each other. You know, you're important to me, I'm important to you. We're all important to one another. So it's really vital that we use one another to discern what God is saying. That's why we're in a body, because we all see aspects of what God's opening up to us in different ways. And as we do all of these things, really pay attention to how you're feeling. You know, what's happening to your concerns and troubles now, the things that you're wrestling with. You know, are they still causing you as much concern as they were initially? You might find that, yeah, they're still there, but oh, I know that God's with me and for me. Wow, that changes how I can walk now in that. And how's your hope? Sometimes our hope gets squashed. You know, as we do this, our hope is strengthened and we can see, yeah, I have a future and it's good. Doing all of these things, as we do that, we're all actively partnering with the Holy Spirit. And over time, we can start to see the transformation that's been happening on the inside, because we'll realise, wow, this is happening today. Usually, I used to really freak out at that, but I'm not really freaking out at that. Whoa! That things change as we continue to soak with God and allow His voice to whisper into our hearts and into our minds. And we go, yes, God, I'm going to do that. Amen. So we're going to continue now. Can I ask the worship team to come back up? So let's just be, yeah, let's be open to see what the Spirit wants to say to us as we continue.
So you can feel free to stand or to sit or however you feel would best connect you with the Spirit.